The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Liam.
I'm Lincoln.
I'm Vandal.
In the house!
Welcome to the show, everybody. Sarah's back. Thank you for coming back.
Sarah's back. Okay, I did not realize how much I feel like I don't talk much on the podcast because I'm not as outgoing as Will. But evidently, I was missed.
You were missed.
Things fell apart.
Did you hear the podcast?
I did. I did listen to the last couple that
The energy dip that we took without that additional.
I don't know. That was
warm and rosy. It was you being gone and me not having the words to say.
Okay.
Let's see. You guys are also back.
Yes.
What's the scoop on Unpub?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Unpub was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yep. People came. The snow didn't shut everything down.
You guys also made it safely. That's good. Did you avoid the snow or did you?
Yeah. We left a day later, but we still got it. We were going to leave. We were going to get there earlier. But anyway, we made it by Thursday for a special, mixer with designers and special guests and stuff like that for Thursday night.
Did you guys video interviews or?
We did one video interview.
We ended up being asked to MC some panels.
Ooh. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we moderated some cool panels with some state of the industry stuff, some rule book stuff. What else?
Matt Leacock, a question and answer with him.
Got some cool stuff that we got to. So it was cool to moderate those panels and do that as part of media at Unpub. And we were there from Thursday, Friday, and then we left Saturday, but got to play some cool unpublished games.
Yeah, what was your favorite unpublished
game? So we each have our own favorite. We probably have four or five out of the whole weekend that were like, these are like really good games that are going to come eventually.
Are they from big name peoples or from just nobody?
Yeah, they're big name people.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if there was just like some standout kid who brought his pile of tokens.
They were there too.
Yeah. Right, cool. So are you going to tell us about them?
No.
No? Yes. What?
Huh? I was going to say, they're
maybe
not
should,
any,
maybe
like,
we should, like, wait till the end of the episode.
Oh. No. Are you guys ready for that? Hang on. We do have two interviews today.
For this podcast.
And then we also have six games we're going to talk about that are coming to Kickstarter the week of April 2nd, 2018.
Cool, cool. And do we have a sponsor for this episode?
Our regular sponsors, which are awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about Bezier Games since they want to talk about something that just happened yesterday, right? Yesterday was April Fool's.
Maybe the people didn't realize yet. Okay, so it was April Fool's yesterday.
Yep.
We probably had an awesome prank on our channel, too. We should work on that real quick, you guys. And then we were also part of One for Bezier. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
So if you're familiar with New York Slice, the game, it's all about pizza and collecting pizza and eating pizza. Well, Bezier Games decided, why don't we make this a legacy game? And
makes sense.
And make it real pizza.
Real pizza.
And you stack real pizza, and you have to eat real pizza, and they know.
Other people have touched and cut and choose for you. Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome.
I feel like I'm all in favor of legacy games. It's taken me a while to get that far. I think, Ryan, are you
cutting
also?
Up and ripping
sticking
up
and
cards and stuff. I don't know if I could stand eating game components.
That's what I'm saying. That would
I
be,
could totally do it. I'm all in for a food legacy game.
The pictures that they had, though, were a whole other level.
There was, like, caressing crumbs everywhere.
In case you didn't get it, it was a April Fool's joke.
Thanks, Melissa.
There's not actually a pizza legacy game.
Yeah.
Oh. So as the listeners, we're getting a little nervous.
I'm excited to see how this all comes together because we're talking about it before it happens. You're listening to it after it happens. So
hopefully you got fooled and it was hilarious and you thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Let's give a couple other quick shout outs to our other sponsors though. Boardwalk is our local friendly local game store.
Yeah.
I just saw this afternoon that John liked our new podcast page. That was always cool.
Cool.
John Emery's the owner of Boardwalk in Greenville, South Carolina. Really excellent guy. Cool shop. And that was also a double pitch because we just launched our new board game podcast group.
Yep.
On Facebook page. On the Facebooks.
Yep.
Go check that out if you haven't joined yet. A bunch of other contributors there too, not just us, but lots of people adding their podcasts and news and giveaways and all kinds of cool things. So be sure to check that one out. Does anybody remember what contest we ran last week?
Yeah, Rankery. But we got to wait until we have enough people to enter. And then
well, we need to wait until this launches, right?
Yes, on April
2nd. We can't really pick a winner today because we still need to give you guys one more week. So. Yeah.
But once you've listened to this, we will have already...
Yeah, we've already announced it.
Announced.
So. It's weird.
It is weird. You could have won, and maybe we'll have another contest soon, so you should go on that page and hang out.
I'm pretty sure we're, like, super close.
To 9,000 subscribers?
Yes, by the time you listen to this, we may have already hit that.
And we decided, let's give away 9 games when we reach 9,000.
Do we know what those 9 games are?
Subscribers on YouTube.
So we've got some signed games from Smirk and Dagger that we're giving away. We've got some CMON game, we got a USAopoly game, so some cool stuff.
A good, nice little package. Yeah. One lucky winner.
No, 9 lucky winners.
9 lucky winners. Oh, so it's not one person winning 9 awesome games.
No, it's 9 winners. Spread the love.
Glad I clarified that for myself. Yeah.
And this is when our YouTube channel gets to 9,000 subscribers. And then...
when we reach 10,000, we have 10,000 games now. Sarah, do you know about this?
Oh, no. I'm not shipping 10,000 myself.
All right. 10 games to 10 lucky winners when we hit 10,000 subscribers.
So one game each.
One game each. To 10. And one of those... one of those games is going to be a bundle of games for the 10,000. It's going to be all the stuff from Vast. So Vast the Crystal Caverns, Vast the Fearsome Floors, Vast the Miniatures, and like a bonus pack.
Cool.
Awesome.
How are we giving those away? Are we announcing those on our podcast? Or are we making a video on YouTube about
that? We should do a video. It would be cool.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
So we should post a video and we'll show like the usernames of all the winners or something like that.
Sure, that should be fine.
And then you guys will win cool games. So go hurry up and subscribe if you haven't. You still have a little bit of time. Tell your friends. Help us hit 10,000. That'd be super awesome.
Yep. So real quick, Final Frontiers, they just finished their Robin Hood game, Robin Hood and the Merry Men.
They
might be able to still do a late pledge for that. And
do we know what that final goal was? Have we looked that up?
I think they got $550,000. So, yep, that's pretty cool. And then Game Toppers, of course, with Kevin Berkey. Looking forward to continue to sponsor or the partnership with him. Looking forward to our Game Topper coming sometime soon.
Can't wait to get that into some videos and show off the awesomeness that is the Game Topper.
And then, of course, the Game Steward with games coming that were launched on Kickstarter. So people can still get them if they missed out.
Awesome. So, all right. So I think we can just roll right now and welcome our first house guest to the house. Let's say hi to Ed.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. Glad you could join our show tonight. So tell us about Pencil First Games.
Well, I mean, Pencil First Games is my indie board game, card game publishing company thing. And we're coming on 5 years in business, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
May. And Pencil First Games has done a bunch of games. First game was Lift Off, Get Me Off This Planet. I'm just like looking over on the shoulder. We did Gem Pack Cards, The Siblings Trouble. We're probably most famous for Herbaceous. But we also did Heroes and Tricks, Sunset Over Water, and Legendary Creatures are just coming out.
Yeah, I was going
to backers
ask.
Right now.
Yeah, they're shipping now, right?
Shipping right now, and then we'll be retail, you know, about a month after that, which is super exciting, and more Kickstarters coming. I think Heroes Welcome, Merchants of Dragon Reach is live, and then more in the coming year. So it's been busy and fun and a little bit crazy.
Cool. So we have you on the show because we want to spend a little bit of time about Heroes Welcome and get our listeners excited about that. We mentioned in our last podcast, but we have you on the show just to hear a little bit more, maybe behind the scenes of this. Is it a partnership with Monkey Jump Games? How did that all start?
Yeah, well, so Heroes Welcome is a really interesting story. Back when I was doing Liftoff and just starting Pencil First Games, a guy that I had worked with in video games years and years before, Marco Blanc, had this prototype of this game he'd been working on for a really long time. And he wanted to play it, and I think we were at KuboCon, our local convention, and it was just a paper prototype. But it was great, because like Heroes Welcome is this game about being goblins who are both, you know, fleecing heroes for their all their loot they get from the dungeon, and then crafting and selling to the bad guys, and it's just sort of playing both sides of the fence, and you know, like letting them fight over it. And it's just a great concept and it's a super fun game, and I really enjoyed it at the time. But I was sort of like, cool, good luck. Super busy. And at the time, another friend of ours, Thomas Denmark, who I actually made my first game with, Murder of Crows, sort of hooked up with Mark and started working on the game. A number of years passed, and, you know, sometimes you have a designer and you have an artist, but what you really also need is a developer/producer to, like, actually get things done.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. They were making progress, but, sure. You know, not quite the progress that gets you over the finish line. And I had always been a fan of it, and I had time, and they asked me if I could come in and help, and the game needed some just development work. It needed additional art resources and bringing on graphic design and then getting to the Kickstarter. So I just jumped in, and you know, it's like, in terms of the what's the relationship, it's a monkey jump games in the context of, like, normally with a pencil first games, I'm sort of driving all the decisions.
Okay.
I'm driving a lot of the decisions here, not on the design, but on all the other stuff we're doing. But at the end of the day, it's still Mark. So Mark's like, I really want this. I'm sort of like, all right, that's fine. And what I think is going to happen is I'm running the Kickstarter. I'm doing all the stuff, but it's not under a Pencil First Games. It's under Mark.
Okay. And so this will be as a first created then, under his moniker.
Yeah, first created under his name.
But, okay.
You know, logistically, somehow he tricked me into doing all the work, right? I'm doing a lot of work. But what will probably happen, and, you know, we're still going to work it out, but it's likely that Pencil First Games will bring it to retail. So
okay.
It'll, you know, Mark ultimately is responsible for everything getting to everyone's hand as Kickstarter backers, but as me working with him, I'm sort of responsible for that. And then we're going to get it to backers, and then depending on how it did and what it's looking like, Pencil First Games will probably roll that into our stuff and then bring it to retail. So is what I think will happen.
Cool.
But, you know, long and the short of it, the game's great. I really enjoy it. And it's one of those times where it's this opportunity to work on a project with somebody who's going through what I went through with Liftoff as my first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of, you know, the dream of even just having your box on a shelf or in backers' hands or people playing it is awesome, right?
So the tell me the length of the campaign. I know this podcast will air on April 2nd, so the campaign's already live, but just for our listeners, it launched March 27th, and it's going till when?
Till the 19th.
Okay.
So of April, the Thursday the 19th, it'll close out.
Cool, cool. And tell us some of the pledge levels for this game.
This is going to be, it's a really straightforward campaign in that regard. We're just having a single and a double, so
oh, cool.
A one and a two,
okay.
And it'll be 45 for the single pledge,
okay.
And like not whatever double is 90 for the double,
okay.
But that's actually the Heroes Welcome, as well as expansion that we're going to have as well. So that's one of the things that I've been working through. I did a video about it, but so normally I do in previous campaigns I did like little itty-bitty mini expansions that were Kickstarter exclusives.
Okay.
You know, and they're fun and they're great, but they're not huge things that you'd also have. This has is more of a full expansion, if you will, like more of a shelf-based expansion.
Is that an add-on or a stretch goal?
It's like Roots. It's
okay.
You automatically get it from day one.
Okay.
And then different stretch goals either like are part of the main game or the expansion. So you're
cool.
Getting the main game plus this expansion. And then there's like a Kickstarter exclusive plus five, a card of plus five going first or whatever, right?
That
goes
nice.
In that ring. And that's totally only for the campaign. But so we think that adds that incentive and value on the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kickback expansion. You two haven't played with it.
No.
And it's fun. It basically, when the creatures come out, you give them each their own little unique kickback, which
okay.
is like either a bonus or something that gives you like a equivalent of an action, like a scam card or something that affects
okay.
the board. So it's very much expansion, right? Like, we love the base game and it works. This is sort of a different tweak
yeah.
to it that you'd see.
Cool.
But no, it's exciting, and hopefully it all comes together. But so there's just the main game tier. You know, we're going to go to make it as fantastic a game as possible with really nice pieces and everything together. So
awesome. We really enjoyed playing it when we had the prototype. So with the game and the expansion, when it goes to retail, would those be two separate purchases then? Yeah, in the Kickstarter, exactly. You get them both.
Correct. And you're going to get them both separately. Like, you're going to...
Yeah,
it's,
sure.
Basically, you're getting the game that is the full game plus this expansion, which will go on sale as a separate product with its own price point.
Sure.
Together. And then the little exclusive card. So that's... And that's, you know, being somebody who's done all these Kickstarters, right? Like, it's a little bit different, but I like it in that it lets you give a bigger thing that you're going to have available, but it's free to anyone who backs, right? So it's a really big value. But,
so that's, you know, that's exciting for the campaign. Is there anything else that excites you about the campaign? Maybe it's a stretch goal or maybe something else?
I they're all excited. The stretch goals just drive and make, you know, all the little tiles nicer, yeah, and the cards nicer,
sure,
and the stop signs nicer, and the
they were already nice, but that's pretty cool. So
it's all that stuff. But what's really exciting to me, right, is just the opportunity to have this. You know, I love novel games. Like, I love games that don't just feel like every other game you've played. And not to say that Heroes Welcome doesn't feel in some ways like other games, but it has its own really unique pace and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love Kickstarter. Right, is you. These are games that are hard to just make. You got to sort of get everyone into it and interested, you know?
So Melissa and I think, I don't know if we were debating, but I know some people would call this like a worker placement game or an action selection game. It's like hard to define.
It's super hard, man. And this is also where I sometimes struggle, where because a lot of Pencil First games aren't like other games, you can't just be like, oh, it's a fantasy worker reverse worker. You know, I usually call it a reverse worker placement.
Yeah, I think I've heard you say that.
Yeah, you know, what it is it's your closing spots, right? So you're taking action. It's action selection, but not like your own. You're taking spots on the board and closing them, which is sort of like putting a worker down, but it also has this mechanic of driving around the board, right? You have these heroes and you're really closing things around with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have workers, right? You just you're closing. It's the Goblin Shop closing game.
Was that the other title that you were thinking
about? Yeah. Well, we a big thing, you know, when you do campaigns, you always debate, but, you know, what's the current, where it's currently a fantasy game of cunning commerce and devious double dealings for 2 to 5 goblins.
Okay.
That's the current line. We'll see if it lasts for the next few hours. So, you know, this is posting, you said, on the other day, but the campaign's launching in the morning. So
right.
It's going to be a busy, busy time.
Man, you
but
guys
like
are going to be busy.
Have these calls over. Anytime.
Sure. So we have to close soon, but can you tell us anything that's coming soon from Pencil First Games that you can share with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. This is a busy year for Pencil First Games. So we have this campaign driving ahead. And, you know, again, this is this monkey jump slash Pencil First thing. But in the pure Pencil First way, next up is Herbaceous Dice.
This is great.
Thrilled about this one. This is Project Number 3 with the Steve Finn, Beth Sobel, Keith Mateka, Ben Shulman group.
It's the dream team.
There you go, the dream team.
We've been having a lot of fun. We may or may not have just agreed to do another game. We've been having a lot of fun. And so that's coming up. And then I have the next project after that is a game called Skulk Hollow.
Yeah, I've seen some things about that. That's great.
With Keith Mateka as on design there. And that is a one versus many Shadow of the Colossus type game where one player is playing as a huge creature beast guardian and the other is like a clan of fox and heroes, and it's a dual card action, you know, dual power cards, but the fox player actually has to jump up onto there's the main map you're walking around, like a chessboard. It's not a chessboard, but like that kind of thing. But then you jump. It's like if you're playing chess, but then you jumped onto the king. And when you did that, there's another guardian board that you then traverse around.
That's cool.
And as you traverse around it, you like take out his arm, and then he can't use that ability anymore. And it's like this super thematic, evocative, fun game. And I always, with every project, I'm trying to do different things to level up the sort of production value and the experience and thematics of it or whatever. And that's another game where we're trying to really...
Yeah, I've seen some meeples, some wooden meeples for Skullcaller. They look pretty sweet.
Yeah. Hey, man, I love wooden meeples. and they are pretty sweet. They are pretty sweet.
Cool.
Like, they're if there's anything, I mean, they're top class meeples.
Cool. Well, it's been great having you on the show, Ed. And tell our listeners where they can find you or anything about Pencil First Games.
Absolutely. So you can see all things about Pencil First Games on Facebook and like Facebook.com/Pencil First Games, or just search it. www.pencilfirstgames.com. For me, at ebarif on Twitter. And then I have Gaming with Edo, which is my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I do reviews and then the sort of Kickstarter help industry league stuff.
That's great.
And Heroes Welcome, just go to Kickstarter and search for it, or Heroes Welcome
and back
on
it.
Facebook and back it. And back it. And you know, again, for people, everything makes a difference. So you look at it and it's your type of game, back it. That's awesome. But if you're like, eh, but it's cool, just sharing or tweeting or doing the $1 or any of that stuff, it really has a huge impact. So anything and everything is appreciated.
Great. Well, thanks for being on our show. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Well, it was great having Edo Bariff on the show. And now we're going to jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
Will, what do you have first?
All right, so let's just start it off with a nice little simple one called King Cat.
Oh, you guys played this, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It's a 2-5 player card game. It's kind of like a tug of war. The best part of the game is that cat lovers and cat haters, which I would be on that team, can play this game. You're playing cards from your hand. Basically, you're trying to move your cat, move the shared cat along the base, either towards happiness in the house or towards the danger of being run over by a car and getting hit by a weed whacker, which is pretty great.
So how do you get points?
There's no points. It's just playing cards from your hand that will either move the cats or allow you a bunch of different special powers. So you roll a die.
Okay.
It gives you an action or determines what you can or can't do on your turn. And then you can play cards from your hands. It's a 2-player game. Or, it says 5, I don't really know how 5 people would play. You play on teams, I guess, when you're trying to move the cat off of the main base.
Maybe
you
have like a person that plays both sides or something.
I guess so, I can't remember what the 5th player is.
There was a card that dictated how it
divvied up, yeah.
That's cool.
Super crazy, happy animation, lots of unicorns pooping rainbows out and crazy jumps like that. It is about cats. There's cats in there somewhere.
Okay.
Played with Liam actually just this afternoon, and he really did enjoy it. It's a very light, very quick dice game. Pretty funny animations. The funny thing is the illustrations are kind of like over kids' heads in a lot of cases, I think. So it's not really a kid game either, but it's just a fun, goofy,
So maybe it's trying to be like a Disney movie where it's like trying to speak to both audiences.
There it is. Maybe that's it. I don't know when it's coming to Kickstarter. Probably on Tuesday.
April 4th.
Check out King Cat if you're looking for a cat hater and lover game. Kevin, what do you got?
I've got a game coming to Kickstarter on April 3rd, and it is called Gruff Stuff of Nightmares. It's from Studio Woe. They've published other games in this Gruff universe, and it's a tactical combat card game. Players are dueling to the death with the different mutant monster goats.
I know. I thought I remember hearing about Gruff recently.
So there's a lot of like attacks and counterplays. Well, Stuff of Nightmares, it's sort of that same feel to it, but it adds a new faction, and it's called the Stuffkins.
The Stuffkins.
So they're like, they look very plushy.
Yeah.
But it's nightmare, so anyway.
Plushy nightmare goats?
That's what it is.
Okay.
So that is from Studio Woe, and that's coming April 3rd. And it's for 1-4 players and plays about 20 to 45 minutes. Now, Melissa.
All right. Also on April 3rd is a Kickstarter that lots of people are already interested in. And there's been some buzz. And that is Fireball Island, The Curse of Volkar.
Oh, this is popular.
And this is from Restoration Games. And basically, they take old games and spruce them up for the market that is today. So
for real board gamers.
Yes. So this is a restoration of the classic 1986 game. If any of you have played the original, it has a 3D island and marbles that come down that try to knock people off.
And it says that this new version boasts an island that is even bigger than the original and even more marvelous.
I've seen pictures. It is bigger. It's like a third bigger.
Wow. Yeah. So, but they say that it fits in a smaller box.
Maybe it's the way, like,
what kind of magic is this?
Bigger, like, higher, not, like, wider.
Is it a cardboard volcano? Isn't there a volcano in it? Or a mountain? I don't know.
Think it's all plastic.
Really? So they say it's a family weight game for 2 to 4 players, maybe 5 with an expansion.
Stretch goals!
Plays in about 30 to 45 minutes, and they have card play that replaces the roll and move in the original.
Oh, that's cool.
There's set collection for the treasures, and... they listed like a bajillion different types of mechanics on BGG, but
what were some that were interesting?
There's some press your luck, of course. Some take that. I guess maybe you can
like hit other people.
Possibly action point allowance system, area movement,
cool.
Deck pool building. So a lot of things going on. A lot of people are really interested, so check out Fireball Island, The Curse of Volcar on April 3rd.
Did Steve Avery have anything to do with that, or was it just fandom of enjoyment?
Fandom of enjoyment, yeah, because it's through Restoration Games, yeah. So, yep.
All right, Katie.
All right, so I'm going to talk about Tour Operator. It's for 2 to 4 players, and you are taking on the role of a travel agency, and you are trying to satisfy customers as they come to you, but they all have very different ideas of what makes a great vacation. And so you're trying to accommodate these different requests and try to do it in a timely manner. So it sounds like there's some sort of time mechanic that you have to deal with, but it's also a bidding game. There's dice rolling and hand management. And the art for this looks like it's pretty solid. And this is coming, it says it's a 45 to 90 minute game. So it's a little bit longer game. And I don't know. I think it sounds like it could be really neat. I actually had thought about like doing a similar idea for a game.
Cool.
So
this they stole it from under your feet, Katie.
They did. I didn't act on it fast enough. But it looks like it could be really interesting trying to fulfill all of these dreams of these different travelers. So, Ryan, what do you got?
Another game coming April 3rd. Seems like a busy day.
Tuesday.
Is Kartoffelkrieg.
Kartoffelkrieg.
I don't know if I said that right.
You did.
By Massive Games.
How do you know he said it right?
I've heard that. Yeah.
We looked up how to say this.
Kartoffelkrieg means potato war, and you get what it says on the box.
Wars.
So this game is about waging war with potatoes. Basically,
potato cannons,
if you took like
guns,
old school BattleTech, simplified it, and then added in some spuds, that's what you would get with this.
All right.
So there's already a print and play version up on Google Drive that you can check out. So I definitely recommend checking it out because it is kind of hilarious.
So, basically you attach things to real potatoes.
Yeah.
Real potatoes.
The game's going to offer you some 3D printed arms and cannons and treads and like armored plates, and you slap them on a potato and then fight it out.
I'm sure there are not real potatoes coming with the game.
No,
I feel like you need to supply your own potatoes.
But see, I feel like there's some potential here because you wouldn't have to use potatoes. You can use whatever you want.
That's next year's Kickstarter.
Tomatoes.
I was trying to think about
fruit
what you
cucumbers.
Use.
So you've got like really tall mechs.
Yeah.
Or for a more permanent solution, there's like those styrofoam balls you get at Michael's.
Oh,
yeah.
You
that sort of thing.
Them.
Yeah. Cool. But It looks like it's just very fun and goofy.
Yeah, very tongue-in-cheek.
So definitely check it out. It's at least worth looking at. So, Will, what else do you got?
Let me try this. Here we go. Hayuken! 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 Okay, that's all.
That was amazing.
That was pretty good.
Down forward, front punch, down forward. Okay. So I'm talking about Street Fighter, the miniatures game.
Da-da-da! I wonder if he's going to be as good as the video game.
Well, it has to be, because otherwise every fan will be disappointed. This one is coming from Jasco Games. I think it's on the 4th, actually, not Tuesday.
Okay, Wednesday.
It looks beautiful, like all the beautiful things that you would imagine. Tons of already pre-painted miniatures. They look They look big. I don't know what size they are.
I'm sure that they're really going to not come painted.
Really awesome. I don't know. They look...
All the photos show them
with color.
Yeah, that's they're gonna
marketing.
That's marketing, man. That's called marketing.
The marketing is working.
They marketed well. We believe they're big painted.
I literally have no there are no details on how the game is played on BoardGameGeek except that it uses the new Universal Tactics system, which I'm not familiar with. But maybe you hear that and you're like, oh, perfect. That's everything I needed to know. The thing that I'm most disappointed by just looking at it is that it doesn't look like a side scroller.
Oh, what?
You're literally on a map moving miniatures around in a giant,
it's three dimensional now, man.
Square grid, it's... yeah. So,
welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, of board games. But it's a dice rolling, you know, card playing fighting game, 40 battle card deck, 2 to 6 players. Looks beautiful.
6 players?
All my reminiscent like joys of the original video game compiled into one cool looking. Dealio. Check out Street Fighters on Kickstarter.
Well, we should jump into another house guest segment with Ben from Darwin Games.
Welcome to the house!
Hey!
G'day, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
So you are from Australia.
Yes. Yes, in the future, 15 hours.
15 hours. Well, tell us about who you are and about Darwin Games, real brief.
So Darwin Games is run by my wife, Shay, and I from down here in Melbourne in Australia. And we're both primary school teachers. And we've been teaching for about 13 years. I've sort of always been into board games from when I was very little. I think HeroQuest was my first big one.
Okay.
And since meeting Shay, we've been enjoying board games together and really enjoy that quality time sitting down face to face and playing, and so we decided to start a company, and we've been designing games since then, and our next one's coming out very soon, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, so tell me, when did you start your company?
Back in 2012, late 2011, early 2012, we started, and we did like a co-production with Eagle Games, for Dawn Rise of the Oculites, which is sort of a narrative skirmish game, scenario based.
On Kickstarter, or was that just straight to retail?
So we ran two Kickstarters for that. We ran the first one and we had to cancel because we needed to rejig a few things. And the second one was successful. And we were able to produce the game and 3 expansion packs for it. Yeah, so we're really happy with that. And then,
so is this game that's coming to Kickstarter in the same universe?
It is in the same universe, that's right. So this one's set further in the future, sort of after all of this. So the first one is set where you have very, very small tribes and you're in charge of like a tribe of 4 or 5 members. This one's set all the way past all the wars that happen and all of that, and set after a peace has been settled, in which they've stopped these giant drums of war that were happening at the time with all the tribes, and they said, well, you know, this is ridiculous. We need to find a better way to settle it, and so they create an arena in which tribal chiefs can represent their tribes to settle disputes, and they go in and the victor. Basically wins the dispute and it's ruled in their favor, and so there's no deaths or anything per se, but it's more of an honor-based system, but there's some oculite tribes that treat it for other purposes, of course.
All right, so we should tell our listeners the name of this game. It's
yes.
Is it an eye for an eye?
Yes, that's right, eye for an eye.
Was that the original name, or was there another name originally?
The original name was, we've had a couple of names. We've had Rise of the Oculites Rolling Battles, and then we had Rise of the Oculites Arena, and then we were like, we had another game, it's another card game, head-to-head one, called Eye for an Eye, in terms of like, well, you do something to me, I do something to you, Eye for an Eye. And we're like, that actually fits even better with this particular game, and when we decided to run with that name, it just sort of took on a life of its own, and we're really, really happy with the way it's come together.
So on BGG, you've described the game as an arena real-time skirmish. What does that actually mean?
Okay, so a lot of skirmish games are played in turn-based form, and I think that's traditionally the way it's always been done. Dawn is turn-based, and we were sort of thinking about it, and we had originally designed this as a turn-based thing where you had like a pool of dice that was your stamina, and you could use those dice to do different actions, but as that stamina ran out, you would run out of things to do. And then we thought, well, really, if you're in an arena, it's going to be pretty, like, you're not going to be waiting for your turn. It's going to be hectic. It's going to be full-on intense. You're going to be scrambling to position and get in the right place and defend and attack at the right times. And so we thought, well, let's put a real-time spin on it. And so each round plays in 5 minutes to a soundtrack. And there's no turns. It's all at the same time. And players roll dice from their dice pool of five dice. They allocate them to the player boards, the actions, and then they can call those actions out at any time with priority given to actions that are called before other ones, and then you resolve them. So to move across the board, you've got to allocate movement dice to the movement action and then call out the action. So it would be like movement two, and you would be able to move two spaces. Because it's all in real time, the timing of when you call those actions is incredibly important, because being able to move away before someone attacks, like if you see them building up attack, you can duck in behind them, because you can only attack or defend through your front arc. You can't do anything from behind. So there's a constant dance around this battlefield as you're sort of positioning yourselves best for your different attacks and defense moves. So making it real time was not only made it really unique in the genre, in the skirmish genre,
mm-hmm.
but it adds just this sense of urgency, this incredible pace, and it's this tension that just builds across that course of the 5 minutes as you're sort of dancing around, knocking each other around, and then just like there's a lot of stand-up yelling moments. That's very exciting.
So you said that the there's a soundtrack they're listening to, and you said it was 5 minutes long?
Yeah, so it ranges between 4.5 to just over 5 minutes. Okay. So you're not quite sure how long it'll be, but...
And is there multiple rounds, or is the game over after that soundtrack's over?
So you play several rounds. So if it was a two-player game, you would play three rounds. So it's basically the number of players plus one round.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so you can do it like that, or you can play a full tournament with, like, you know, 30 or so players in an hour.
Okay. So how many players does the game come with?
So we'll be launching the core game with six characters. So okay. Our five base tribes and the Luftals, a Luftal tribe, which is a really unique sort of... They're not Oculites, but... So they actually... You have the ability of controlling five characters instead of one with those Luftals, but they're not as powerful. So that's quite a different challenge. And then... Through the course of the Kickstarter, we have another six characters that we're wanting to include in the game, which we'll be doing so for free as long as we can hit certain marks to be able to afford to include those in the game. So there'll be, if we hit everything, there'll be 12 characters in the game.
And would people be able to play up to 12, or would it still just be six? You just have different characters you can choose.
We have played 12. several times, and a grade of grade five kids can handle 12. It's literally insane, but you can physically do it. We recommend not going past six for most people, and if you're playing six, you would normally be in teams, so two teams of three or three teams of two. But you can play free for all six players as well. But it's probably recommended to play in teams because it gets a little bit crowded at that point with the size board that's included.
So I noticed in Eye for an Eye that the illustrator is the Miko. We're big fans of him. Is this the first time you've had him illustrate your games?
Yeah, so yeah, the Miko is an amazing person, really generous guy, and the style of art he has is just fantastic. We saw his stuff when we picked up... Valeria, the Valeria series of
Villages
games.
Yeah, Villages of Valeria. Mm-hmm.
Yep, Villages of Valeria, that's it. And we just thought, wow. And there was one particular, I think it was the image of the troll in there, there's a green troll in there, and we thought, holy moly, this guy could draw an Oculite, I reckon. His style would be perfect. And I'd been illustrating everything up until that point. And while my skills have gotten a lot better, the industry has moved to a point where I just can't catch up to that skill level. And so we thought we really want to make sure that it had the best chance of doing well. We know the game's solid, we know the game's fun, but it needed to be the full package. And so we reached out to the Miko, and he got in contact, and he was like, these are really cool little creatures, I'd love to draw them for you. So yeah, and he's been awesome. The communication's been great, and he's just literally plucked them out of my head and put them on paper in a way that I can't do. So,
and I see that you have the miniatures as well. Who do you have sculpting those?
So we've got Bob Olley. He used to sculpt for Games Workshop a little bit, and I think he's more famous in the miniature world for his Scrunts line and that sort of thing. Bob Olley did all of our sculpts for Dawn as well, and we were really, really happy with how he did those. And so when we knew that we were doing Eye for an Eye, we were like, we can't not get anyone else to do it. So it was definitely going to be Bob all the way, and he's once again done an awesome job.
Cool.
Yeah.
So before we close, tell our listeners about the reward levels. Is there one base game reward level, or how's that working?
So there'll be one level, which will be the game, and whatever the funding will allow us to do through stretch goals, all of those things will be included in every copy of the game. We have a pretty strong philosophy on no Kickstarter exclusives. I understand that that's not always that popular, but like my son is 5 at the moment. I would like for him to be able to, and for people that miss the Kickstarter, if they hear about the game later and they go, oh, I really want to have a go at that, to be able to pick up the full game and play the full game. We don't want to be piecing stuff out and sort of segregating parts of the board game community just because they miss a 30-day window.
Yeah. Do you have a approximate number for what it will cost for that base game?
We are in the final throes of finalizing that. And if you asked me in a couple of days, I probably would have had that for you. We have a pretty good idea about what it's going to be.
Well, it's at least one day ahead right now, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're only one day off. Oh, damn.
No, it's fine. Totally understand. You got to make sure you get the right price. That's important.
Yeah, we're trying to sort of not go higher than 70 US for the whole kit and caboodle. We would really like to include all 12 units in there, but we need to make sure that we can afford the molding for those. We've already paid for all the art, we've already paid for all the sculpts and everything like that. It's just the production and the shipping itself. So we hope that people can get behind the game so that we can bring the whole game to life in a way that we've been wanting to do for a while.
Cool. So before we say goodbye, your campaign is launching mid-April, is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
And tell our listeners where they can find more about Darwin Games and Eye for an Eye.
Okay, so best places to check us out is at our website, darwin-games.com.au. There's a sign-up form so we can let you know when Eye for an Eye launches and anything else that you might need to know. And the other big place is following Oculites on Instagram. It's OCCULITES, or the Darwin Games Facebook page. And yeah, we'd love to see you guys around.
Good. Well, thanks for being on our show, Ben, and we wish you a great success in your Kickstarter. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
Bye.
Well, it's super great having Ben on the show with us, but I actually want to hear a little bit more about Unpub from Kevin and Melissa.
Come on, you've been holding out on us. We waited long enough.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, we actually hung out with two different Bens, not Ben that we just listened to.
Yeah, but Ben Pinchbeck and his friend Matt Riddle. They are a design team. They've done some really cool stuff like Fleet, and they've done Fleet Dice. They've done
Wasteland
Goonies.
Express.
So they've done some really cool stuff. Floating Market.
Cool.
But they are working on, or actually have already given Mayday Games their design for The Way of Kings, which is a book in the Stormlight series from Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
And I know Brandon Sanderson has done, like, The Reckoners, and they've done the Mistborn series, and there's been some games about those. Well, this
new game, The Way of Kings. Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback just finished recently and coming out for May Day, so we're really interested in that. And maybe
You get to actually play it or just look at it?
But we'll be able to hopefully interview them at Origins. We got to play two other games from them.
Okay.
One was probably my favorite game of the con.
Oh, cool.
That was called River Valley Glassworks.
Ooh.
It's a game about depression glass. It's all cards, card-based game, and you are collecting these different pieces of glass, or like shaped glass, like cups and bowls and pitchers and stuff like that.
Depression-era glass is actually worth money.
Yeah, and anyway, and you're collecting these cards, and they're all worth, like, there's rare ones and common ones, and you're creating different sets. And just the way you're collecting them is really a cool mechanic. So I was really impressed, and it was very, like, the decisions were really cool, but it was, like, a very casual game. So it sort of reminded me of, like, the Herbaceous games or the Sunset Over Water games, so I was really it was really enjoyable.
Was it a pretty finished prototype, like really great finished art, or was it real rough?
No, really rough art, but really good mechanics and design work.
It's basically like pictures from the internet.
Okay.
So would this be then like a set collection game?
I would call it a set collection game. Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of building a display, and the order that you collect things in is how you have to display them. But like Above and Below or some other games, if you can get the common things farther.
If you can get more sets later in your display, you're gonna get way more points because the cards in like the row 7 or row 8, each card is worth 7 points or 8 points in there. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. But another probably game that Melissa really enjoyed was from our other friends, Ben Rossett and Matthew O'Malley.
Another kind of Ben and Matt team that designs together.
I feel like
we need a Ben or Matt. We need a Matt.
Work on that.
Ben Rossett and Matthew O'Malley did Between Two Cities.
Mm-hmm. From Stonemaier Games.
Cool, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they've designed some other things together. They are working on a deduction game, not social deduction, but actual true deduction, and it was called The Search for Planet 9, and it was really rough. They've only been working on it
for a little bit. But you have, like, a solar system out in front of you.
Is it Pluto?
Are they searching for Pluto?
They're searching for the real Planet 9. Anyway, there's a solar system, and you all have these screens, and you have a sort of a replica of that solar system, and you have like these different questions you can scan for in different sectors, and you can say how many asteroids are here, how many different things like that are in the dwarf planets and things, and then you can start deducing what. Where the Planet 9 could be within the system.
Right, because there are certain rules, like and I'm just making them up.
An asteroid is always going to have another asteroid next to it. So, or a dwarf planet is going to have, like, stuff like that.
Certain things can be by Mind each other or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. A little bit like that. If you know one piece of information, you can deduce other things.
So it's laid out on a grid, and you have to like figure out which square.
It's a circle. It's a circle with like 13 or 8. I think it was like 18 different sectors.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to figure out which sector the planet is in.
And each sector has its own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to
have... There's only one thing per sector.
Yeah, so it's going
to... So is it a variable setup?
I think so, yeah.
They're hoping be able to have it with an app. Mm-hmm. At this point, he had the master key, and Ben was telling
us... But I think it'd be really cool with an app.
What was in the different sectors and things like that. But I really enjoyed it, because I do love deduction, things like Sudoku... Some of those logic puzzles that I played as a kid. So I really enjoyed that one. I hope that they can keep working on it and getting it to a point where...
Another game that Ben and Matt, Ben Rossett and Matt Mathieu was a game called Homebrewers. There's a game that they created called Brew Crafters that was through Dice Hate Me Games. This game, Homebrewers, is you're actually... brewing beer in your home, like craft beer in your home. And it's like a dice, like worker placement sort of game. Or not worker placement, but sort of action selection. So it's really cool.
Chris Cantrell's game? Is that what?
No.
Still not yet, huh?
He will be interested in
it. But it's a really cool, like it was fun to play, even though I'm not like really big into the theme. I enjoyed the process of trying to get my actions. And there was like some engine building that you're trying to like get these things and sanitize stuff and brew stuff to be able to get. It was
you could even trade dice with other people. Mm-hmm. So
it's a dice game. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. If someone had the ingredients and I had brewing, we could trade if it helped each other out to
that's
kind of
cool.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Get the action
trading
that
trading, not trader mechanic, but an ability to move around as you need to. That's kind of interesting.
And one more game I think Melissa wants to talk about.
So there is this game called Watch, and it is set in a watch factory in Russia.
That used to be a munitions factory.
Right.
During like the Cold War.
Okay.
Or no, the World War. Whatever.
Something like that.
Like
Nazi era or
World War. Previous war. So now it still has all that like that feel to it, mm-hmm. but there's like cameras everywhere.
Yeah, so it was
but they're smuggling things out of the watch factory.
So what? Yeah, you're trying to do different actions. You had to get gears, and then when you have enough gears, you can smuggle munitions out, and it's a worker placement in a circle.
That's like a rondel.
Like a rondel. He compared it to
Kanban,
which I hadn't played. But each round, you're going to start in a different sector. So people will place on the actions, and then after everything's placed, you resolve it in a certain mm-hmm. order based on where it is in the circle.
Yeah, so you could be like in the warehouse, or you could be at the different like places and trading gears for gold or money and things like that. But there's one place where you can actually go and you can like spy on like the people and look at the cameras, and you could like place like where the cameras are going to activate. Mm-hmm. So if your meeple is in a certain spot, or if someone else is,
you have to pay a bribe
to the person who set the cameras. It's pretty fun.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like, I'm going to set the cameras in the warehouse, and if someone goes to that spot, they have to pay me.
This is
money.
Like weird espionage watch factory.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting because the way that the turns resolve, if someone's going later in turn order, they're not going to take their meeple off of the spot until after I go. So you have to think about what order is next turn going to be. Because if I want to take a certain spot, but someone's already there from the previous turn, I can't go there this turn because it's not an available action to me.
Until after they move.
Until they move out. But if you're
turn,
later
right.
in the turn order, someone else can steal it before you get there again.
Oh,
like smuggling.
Yes. A little take that ish, or is it
just
time?
Not really take that. It's just a timing.
Yeah,
game.
Like
or like withholding, or like saying like
I'm gonna keep my guy.
You always have to move, but I may take an action that's not really great for me this turn, knowing it's going to set me up to be able to take the action I really want next turn.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. It was a good thinky game. Obviously still under development, and he was still working on scoring and trying to figure out the best way to do the end game scoring. But I really enjoyed it. And that was from Daniel Newman.
Yeah, Daniel Newman.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, we've communicated with him a bunch. So give us just a little bit of a glimpse of like what just the overall experience was like. Big, small venue.
Yeah, so probably about, I'm going to guess, 1,000 people.
Okay.
So that's a pretty small then.
And then it's got a huge convention like hall where people are like tables after tables where they're setting up their, you know, their prototypes. Mm-hmm. They have a little vendor hall outside where people were trying to sell things. And then they had like places where you could go to the panel, like panel rooms.
Okay.
So the panels.
And Thursday evening and Friday morning were mainly for designers, mm-hmm. Publishers. It was not open to the public at that time. So there was fewer people, just a couple hundred. And that's when they had the panels and like the mixer Kevin was talking about, just kind of talking and networking at that time. And then later in the day, they opened it up to the public and playtesters. And that's when everyone had their games set up and you could sign up to play certain games and give feedback. They had a whole table full of prizes of games that they would draw
based on people's, not based on the feedback, but based on people entering
down feedback, turn it in, they draw your name.
Yep. It's all computerized. Oh, so that's pretty cool.
Interesting.
And one more thing, we saw David Abelson there with Fisher Heaton Games.
Oh, okay.
Again, saw him, I got to play Healer's Path.
Nice.
And then he gave us a copy of Moonshot, which I was able to play tonight, cool. which we'll talk about in another podcast episode.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, cool. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground.
One more thing.
Ken has one more thing, I can tell.
Yes, we left and we're coming back home to South Carolina, and we talked about BFGCon, which was the big Frederick convention. We decided, could we stop in there? So we stopped in, and this is their first time 3-day con.
Cool.
And they probably had about 450 that showed up to that.
Cool. Congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They had a really nice venue.
Really cool venue. And they're going to try it next year as well.
Excellent. So did you guys actually get to play anything there?
Just kind of play. Just swung in, said hi. Got to see like sort of how they ran things. They don't close. They're always open.
Just 24 hours.
24 hours.
Woo!
So they have like
intense.
6 to midnight, midnight to, they have different shifts, midnight to 8, 8
wow.
to 12.
So if you work like third shift, you could come in randomly.
I mean, that's pretty brilliant because you're paying for the venue, which you get unlimited access to.
Yeah.
And people are there to play all night. So, I mean, even the conventions we go to, people are there well past, you know, midnight-ish or whatever.
Yep.
Might as well just keep it open.
Cool. So that was kind of cool. Not that I would want to do it. But.
did the guys who were running it just stay awake for 3 solid days?
No. They have a night watch, they said. So.
Cool. Exciting stuff. Well, I think that wraps it up, though.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you had a great time, and we will catch you next time. See ya!
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!